All right, Brother Bud, you come on.
All right, glad to save.
Yeah.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. I want to begin reading in around verse number 26, I believe it is. Let's see here. Thank you, preacher, for letting us come.
Amen. Bless your heart. Appreciate y'all coming.
They told me when I first started to preach like it was my last time.
Amen.
That never really meant anything to me until this past year. Somebody say,
right. Amen.
I wasn't sure if we was going to get to have church.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Thank God that we're still having church.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God. 2020 was the longest decade of my life.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm thankful that we're still here.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all do know this ain't our first rodeo. We've been through things before.
Right.
We're still here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I remember I went up on a missions trip to Eastern Europe. We were in Albania, Europe's only Muslim country. And on the way back, we stopped in Rome. And we went down into the Colosseum. And they told me this story about a little missionary from Mexico. His name was Gomez. He said they took the tour of the Colosseum, the old ruined city of Rome. And he climbed up to the very top of it. You ain't supposed to go up there. But he climbed up to the top of it and yelled out to the top of his voice, "Rome, where are you?" And everybody down in the Colosseum was looking up at him. Everybody down in the street was looking up at him. He reached into his pocket and he pulled out a little New Testament and said, "We're still here. Coronavirus, we're still here."
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Amen. Acts chapter number 11.
Amen.
Acts chapter 11. Let's begin in verse 22. And we'll read down to verse 26. Verse 26 is our text verse this morning. And I want to share with you just these few thoughts on my heart. I thank God for the opportunity to be here. And thank you for letting my family sing. And I enjoyed the good choir singing. I like watching somebody born into the family of God.
Amen.
I like seeing God's people get excited about it.
Yeah.
Amen.
I said there's joy in the presence of God.
Amen.
One sinner.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I appreciate the theology that our brother marched down the center aisle shouting about. Said her name just got wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
You know that's a deep theological subject.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. There are debates. They've been arguing for hundreds of years about when did our names get written in that book.
Right.
Help me somebody.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you when my name got wrote in the book.
Yeah.
When I got born again.
When
her name got wrote in the book. Right there.
Right.
Amen.
Help somebody.
Right. Yes.
I'll give you some more good news. There's still plenty of room in that book.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 8, that woman caught in the act of adultery was put in.
Right.
The Bible said he stooped down and started writing.
Right.
And scholars for centuries have tried to figure out what he was writing.
Listen.
I don't care what he was writing.
Come on.
I'm just glad he's still writing.
Amen.
I'm glad the book ain't over with. There's still another chapter left.
That's right.
Somebody.
Thank God
for that.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I saved you $20,000 in Bible college.
Right.
Tell you this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says that we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Come on. Come on.
Honey, if God didn't know, then He ain't God.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
And if God didn't go, then He ain't good.
Come on.
Amen.
And God is God.
Yes.
God is good.
Amen.
Whoa, hallelujah. He knew what Judas would do,
that's
but he
right.
still tried his best
to
draw him.
Right.
Help me somebody.
Yes,
amen.
Oh, thank God. God did know.
Amen.
God did know.
That's
By the way, when you got in him, by the way, you didn't get in him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
That's not when it happened.
Come on.
Somebody ought to read. I'm going to save you $20,000
in
Bible college tuition and countless hours of studying after Augustine and Calvin and Luther. Paul said in Romans 16, I believe they were his cousins, Andronicus and Juno. Romans 16, who were, here's the quote, I'm going to quote the King James. It's the only one you really know what it says. Who were yet Christ before me. Tell me somebody. If Paul was in Christ before the foundation of the world, then when them two old boys do it.
Come on.
You're welcome. I just say, Jesus saves and so does Brother Bud. I just saved you a whole bunch of money, time, and headache. You're welcome. Let that reflect next time the offering plate comes around. Let's reflect that. Are you in Acts 11? I have no idea what time it is. Preacher, I like that. He said, even on a program. That's when God started his program. You know what God's program consisted of? You've seen it.
Right.
Drawing somebody to Jesus.
Right.
Saving somebody. Right. I like it when you get on God's program. Well, look in your Bible. Preaching's God's idea.
Yes,
and preaching's a good idea.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 22. Now, it says, Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Here is my thought, the thrust of my message. I've got 4 points, but this is the one thing that I want to talk to you about. And the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch. Would you pray with me? Would you pray for me? Our Father, thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for what you do. You're good at what you do. I thank you that you're still in the saving business. I thank you that you're still in the church business. I thank you that you have not abandoned us in our time of need. Lord, thank you for the word of God. And I pray you would take the word of God and write it upon the tables of our heart. Help us, I pray. And we'll thank you for it. We'll give you glory. And we'll praise you best we know how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
I started out to study the life of Paul. He's my hero. He's our model Christian, if you will. Help me, somebody. And so I wanted to study Paul's life and develop, maybe, I don't know if it was going to develop into preacher. I'm a preacher, so I had a good idea, probably would.
Amen.
But I really done it for myself. I wanted to study Paul for myself. And you know, you can't study Paul without studying those characters that God placed in his life to mold him and to make him into what he was to be. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But he did not do that by himself. Everywhere he was, there was somebody with him. Everywhere he went, there was somebody with him, molding him and making him into that man that God wanted him to be. Somebody say amen. I realized that I needed every person that God has ever put into my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly have all been used by God. God. Help me, somebody. You say, preacher, not them because they hurt me. Honey, did you know Jesus could have went to Calvary without Peter? He could have went to Calvary without John. He could have went to Calvary without James. But he could not get to the cross without Judas. He could not wonder why he kept a devil on the payroll. Help me, somebody. He could wonder why he didn't expose him. And you wonder why he didn't expel him. It's because he had to get to Calvary and he needed somebody to help him. Preacher, they crucified me.
That's good.
That's exactly what you need.
Amen.
And so I began to look at some of these characters that God used to help Paul become the man that we admire today. Here is one such character, Barnabas.
Amen.
Barnabas is an interesting character. It seems he plays a very small role in the narrative of the scripture. What I mean by that is, you never read the epistle of Barnabas to the church in Antioch. Help me, somebody. You never read any letters written to young Titus or to, help me, somebody, or to whosoever by the name of Barnabas. As far as I know, he did not write a gospel.
Right.
He didn't write any of the epistles.
Right.
Help me, somebody.
Right.
I don't know of any church named after him, but still he played a major role in the beginning of the church.
Amen.
Barnabas. Everywhere Barnabas goes in the scripture, somebody's calling him something besides what his mama called him.
Yeah.
Are y'all gonna go with me? Are y'all gonna go with me in this study?
Bless him.
I've got three messages with me in this pulpit right now.
Come on.
I only aim to preach one of them, but it depends on how y'all act. If this is going to be practice preaching, we have it in Bible college. If this is going to be practice, I need to practice.
Come on.
And if this is going to be practice preaching, I'm going to go and hit all three of them. Amen. At your expense.
Amen.
So help me preach. And when I say help me, I mean really help me. Amen. But Barnabas, Barnabas seemed like everywhere he went, somebody was calling him something.
Come on.
Besides what his mama called him. You know, Barnabas is not his name. And we first met Barnabas in chapter 4.
Right.
And his name was Joseph.
Right.
And the disciples said, you know what, you're a blessing. We're going to name you Barnabas. They surnamed him Barnabas. And the Bible said it means the son of consolation. There's a reason why he was a blessing. He had a piece of land, sold it, brought every dime of it, dropped it off the plate. Now, I don't care who you are, that is a blessing. Help me, somebody. I pastored for 18 years, and I really enjoyed big offerings. Help me, somebody. I like paying the right bill. Help me, somebody. I like taking care of missionaries. I ain't mad about paying the pastor's salary. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody.
Come on.
I pastored all the years, and I enjoyed the larger, it never make me mad. And since I've been an evangelist for going on 8 years now, an evangelist shake hands like that. I preached at a preacher's fellowship the other day back in my hometown, Weedale, Alabama. And the young preacher that helped get the fellowship started together, he said, I got something in my truck for you, preacher. I said, well, amen. And I followed him out to his truck. He handed an envelope. And I said, oh, brother, you didn't have to do that. You know, that's what you're supposed to say. He said, no, really, I did. It was a $10.99 for the offering. Last summer when I preached for him.
Yes, Lord.
He said, no, really, I did. I have to legally give you that. I said, okay. Amen. Barnabas was a blessing because he brought a large offering that met a need. That ain't the only reason he was a blessing. What he was doing is he was helping He was helping the church get started. And that's what Barnabas does. Is he helps people get started. He helped the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4 get started. He helped the church in Antioch in chapter 11 get started. He went, hallelujah, he went to Galatia and helped the four Gentile churches in Galatia get started. He helps Christians get started. He helps preachers get started. He helps churches get started. And you need somebody to help you get started.
Amen.
Look at what he told the church in Antioch. That with purpose of heart, he exhorted them all, verse 23, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. He said, don't quit. He said, don't you quit. Don't quit. You don't quit. Just keep, it's going to get hard. It'll get tough. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Reminds me of a time my brother and I hate to tell y'all this, but it's just the truth. We was over at old man Green's next door. He's across the track and next door to us. And he had a big old watermelon patch. And it wasn't my idea. My brother said, let's go get us some of them watermelons. I had one under each arm and one under my knees. I tried to. But he had a dog. I heard that dog coming. I thought, it was an old coon dog. I heard him coming. He didn't have a teeth. He didn't have any teeth, but I still didn't want to be bit to death by a toothless dog. Could you imagine how long it would take that dog to kill me? And so I abandoned the watermelon theft, and I struck out running. My brother Roger was faster and taller and slender and ran ahead of me. And I ran and I followed him, and he ran me right into a sawbriar patch.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I had the crown of thorns with.
Yeah. Oh.
And I got in there and it was cutting me all to pieces. He hollered back. He said, bud, don't stop running. If you ever stop, you will never get started again.
Honey,
you're starting out for God. It's like running through a sawbriar patch.
Come on.
You're going to get pulled. You're going to get scratched. You're going to get cut up. You're going to get hurt. But just keep going. Just keep going. I won't title my sermons. Give them to you because I'm proud of them. I'm always titling my sermons. This one was originally called Acts chapter 11 sermon. That ain't going to sell a book or nothing. Not that I'm selling any. I want to just mention quickly my thought for this whole thing. Everybody named Barnabas something. The disciples named him Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. He went with Paul on the first missionary trip. They got over there and the heathen. Right. The heathen decided they would call him Jupiter.
Yep, right.
It's Zeus, father of helps, father of
Come
the, on. Zeus, they called him Jupiter.
Come on.
And they called Paul Mercurius. Right. Because he was the chief speaker, Hermes, herald of the god.
Right.
Called him Hermes.
Come on.
And but you know what? Nobody ever called him Jupiter after that.
Amen.
Tell me somebody.
Thank the Lord.
Now here in our text, look at your Bible at verse 26. And they were called Christians first in Antioch.
Amen.
Now that one stuck. Am I right about
that?
They called him Barnabas and that stuck. He was a blessing. And they called him Christian and that stuck. Tell me somebody. Let me say something to you. That it doesn't matter what you call yourself.
Right.
Help me right here.
Yeah.
What matters is what they. By the way, it was not the disciples that chose the name Christian for themselves.
Right.
They did not name themselves Christians.
Come on.
It was those on the outside. Right. It was those out in the world. It was the heathen. They looked at me and said they something different about me. They don't act like we do. They don't talk like we do. They don't dress like we do. They don't look like we do. There's something different about that crowd. They remind me of somebody. They remind me of Jesus. They remind me of Jesus.
Jesus.
They look like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. And so they call them Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
And that one stuck.
Amen.
You can't give yourself a nickname.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Somebody else is going to call you that.
Amen.
And let me say this to you. What matters is not what you say about yourself.
That's good.
Right.
What matters is what someone else says about you.
Amen.
Oh, you say, but preacher, wait just a minute. What if they say something about me that's not true?
Come on.
Have you ever had anybody say something about you that wasn't true? Has anybody ever called you something that wasn't true? Well, let me share with you this. It only sticks if it's true.
Right.
If it's not true, it will not stick.
Right.
You know, they called Jesus a wine bibber. Did that stick?
Nope.
No, they called him a deceiver. They called him a demoniac.
Church.
Said he was the prince of the devil's Beelzebub. Did that stick?
Nope.
Has anybody ever? I'm giving you another example. Naomi came back from Moab with her hat in her hand.
Yeah.
Never had everything. When she left, came back with nothing. And they said, hey, is that Naomi?
Yeah.
Is that Naomi? She said, don't call me that. You call me Mara.
Don't
you ever call me Naomi. Naomi means present.
Yeah.
And I'm anything but that. You call me Mara. I've done been to the courthouse. I've done made the arrangements. I'm changing my name from pleasant to bitter. Mara means bitter. You call me Mara. And they said, okay, Naomi. We'll call you whatever you want us to call you, Naomi. Hey, y'all, Naomi's here. Well, wait a minute. She don't want y'all to call her Naomi. What was it? Are you getting what a picture are you getting? Nobody ever called her name. Nobody ever called her Mara because it wasn't true.
It wasn't true.
And those things they say about you that are not true will not stick.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's good.
They only stick unless they're true.
Amen.
Oh my. Well, let's move on.
That's good.
Everybody, everywhere he went, gave him a nickname. So if it's all right with y'all, took the liberty of giving him a nickname myself. Everybody else did. Might as well join the club.
Come on.
I've named him Barnabas, the disciple of difficult days.
Amen.
Yeah.
I say that, preacher, because it seems like every time he shows up in the scripture, it's a difficult day.
That's right.
It's a difficult situation in Acts chapter 4 when we first meet him. I call it the failure of the communist experiment. Oh, I'm sorry. This may mess up your Hallmark commercial Christianity. But there was no commandment given by God for them to sell everything that they had and bring it and put it in the offering plate. Now, that would be a blessing for about a month. But when your belly started growling, help me somebody. You do realize what happened in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
Here's the key verse to the book of Acts. Chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the key verse to the book of Acts.
Right.
And in chapter 2, it just so happened that there were people, here's what the King James said, from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven heard Peter coming down full of the Holy Ghost and preached Jesus. And they got saved. 3,000 got saved that day. And they were supposed to go ye therefore. Help me
somebody.
They were supposed to go to from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea and the uttermost part. Help me somebody. They were supposed to go home and tell their neighbors about Jesus. They were supposed to go back home and tell everybody they met about Jesus.
Right.
Well, that ain't what they did.
Right.
Here's what the Bible said. They had all things common.
Yep.
Ain't that a blessing?
There.
Neither had any man need.
Right.
For anybody that was possessor of houses or lands, sold their possessions and brought it to the apostles' feet, and distribution was made.
Right.
Right. Come on.
That sounds real good. Bernie Sanders would be so proud of Acts chapter 2.
Bless him.
Acts chapter 4.
Oh, my.
I call it the failure of the communist experiment. Because it did not work then.
Come on.
Amen.
And it will not work now.
Amen.
So mistakes. I ain't even going to talk to you about it because you'll have to bring me back in to preach that one. See how I did that? That's job security. I got this pandemic on, I got this for me and mine.
Come on.
If you want to hear about the failure of the communist experiment, you preacher knows my number. You know his number and he knows my number. But I want you to look in this passage here. The church at Jerusalem was supposed to be the headquarters of Christianity. It was supposed to be how church was modeled.
Right.
And it failed. Right. That's that first sermon I ain't going to preach about. In Acts chapter 11, the church in Antioch became the model church.
Yes, sir.
It became the hub of Christianity. It became the model of how you're supposed to do it.
Right.
And so I call this passage, this message rather, the future of the Christian experience.
Amen.
This is how you're supposed to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at it. I ain't going to preach all this, but I am going to say four things. Is that all right?
Amen.
Four things? That's more than three, but it's less than five.
Amen. Amen.
It could have been 12.
Amen.
This is how it says they were, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They called them Christians. This is real Christianity.
Yes, sir. Right.
Not they went around trying to convince people that they were saved. By the way, you can say everything you want to say.
Right.
But it don't matter what you say.
Right.
They can see right through what you say.
Right.
If you're not a real Christian, honey, you might as well forget witnessing to your neighbors or to your co-workers or to your students and helping somebody. You're not going to convince anybody because they're not listening to your words. They're looking at your walk. And if your walk doesn't line up with your words, they will mark you off as a phony.
Amen. Right.
Real Christians.
Right.
Real, the disciple of difficult days shows up. Is they said, "Hey, there's something happening down there. Folks has left. Stephen got stoned to death, and there was persecution. And by the way, guess who was behind all that? Saul bringing them out, threatening some slaughter, getting about and trying to kill everybody. And so they scattered. This is what I read a John Wesley sermon the other day. No wonder they think you got to get saved again. When I got done reading that John Wesley sermon, I thought I need to get saved again. But here's what John Wesley said. He said, persecution is God's final remedy for a backslid people. And they would not leave.
Amen.
They would not leave Jerusalem. They were of that mega church movement. They thought the world was better. They thought bigger was better. They thought the success of a church was measured by how many people were coming rather than how many people were going. Ed Ballou used to say, he said, "Go ye therefore," and he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." He said, "No go, no low. Don't expect God to keep up his end of the bargain if you're not going to keep up your end of the bargain. If you don't go, there's no low." And the first two words, two letters of the word gospel, is go. We're supposed to go. The gospel will give you a go spell. You're supposed to go. And they stayed. And they stayed. And they refused to go. And God had to scatter them with persecution.
Right. Amen.
Send a crazy man in there.
Yeah.
Killed.
Right.
And they left. And they left. Verse 19, there arose persecution about Stephen, and they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. And they got down there, and Antioch, and people got saved.
Amen.
And the church just happened. Hey, y'all, you'll be surprised what we'll do. Hey, let them tell us we can't meet inside the building.
Come on.
Come on.
Let them tell us we can't shake hands.
Come on.
Come on.
I ain't against helping somebody.
Come on.
I ain't against people not trying to get this thing. I had it back in January. I ain't trying to get it again. Help
Come
somebody.
On.
Help me somebody.
Yeah,
I'm not licking doorknobs, but I'm not going help me somebody. I'm not going to live by fear. Can I get a witness? Let them try to tell us we can't meet together. And Christians will find a way. If we don't have a meeting inside this year, we'll find us down by the river somewhere where prayer was wont to be made.
Amen.
In any condition, under every circumstances, God's people have instinctively gotten together. Oh,
amen.
God's people have instinctively gotten together and met together for the worship of God. We always have. And when we make an announcement, we always will. It don't matter if it's the Democrats or the Republicans. It don't matter who it is. We'll find a way. We'll find a way to meet together.
Amen.
Here, and they said, we got to find out what's going on down there. And Barnabas said, I don't know. Yeah. And so they sent Barnabas. And there he came. He saw the grace of God.
Amen.
What does that mean? You can see it.
Yes, right. Sir.
You can see it when God puts homes back together.
Amen.
And daddy's pouring that liquor down the drain.
Yeah.
When mamas come home. Help me somebody. When the prodigal comes back.
Come on.
When folks start getting right with God and staying right with God, you can see the grace of God.
Amen.
Saw it. Helped them get started.
Amen.
Did you say amen if I were to tell you that, Barnabas? You know what they were talking about, don't you?
Come on.
They said them are Christians.
Yeah.
Among others, they were talking about Barnabas.
Right. Come on.
He's a real Christian.
Right.
The disciple of difficult days.
Amen.
Was a real Christian.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you something. Do you believe me when I tell you that we're living in difficult days?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Amen. Amen.
Difficult days brings out the worst in some folks.
That's right.
But it brings out the best in others.
Amen.
And when difficult days arise, real Christians rise to the top.
Amen.
Let me say four things about this real Christian by the name of Barnabas. Look at the biographical sketch in verse 24. He was a good man.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, hallelujah. That ain't his grandmama saying that about him.
Right. Amen.
Are you with me?
Come on.
I'd expect his boss to say that if he'd been on time for work and, you know, put in a good day for a good day's pay. Heaven's
yeah, come on.
But it was the Holy Ghost that said this through the pen of Luke.
Right.
It was God that said he was good.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means he was a saved man.
Amen.
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 I can deduce by the fact that he was a saved man. I believe I can prove it in Acts chapter 4. Yeah. I don't know if that's when he got saved, but I think that's when he got right. When he sold that piece of property, put that money in there, there's a reason for that. Help me somebody.
Amen.
It wasn't because he's trying to be a blessing. It's because he's trying to get right with God.
Come on.
Because when he got saved, he wanted to pay it back.
Amen.
And you get born again by the grace of God, you're going to pay it back.
Amen.
Tell you about an old boy used to go in this old country store and used to rip that old man off his half blind and steal things when he was a kid. And sometime around 96, God saved him in the backseat of an old gray Oldsmobile in Crossville, Tennessee. And that same boy went down into that old country store and said, hey, I owe you. I pulled his wallet out and said, I owe you big. I stole from you all them years. And that man said, son, you don't owe me nothing. I'm glad to hear you got saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't want to pay it back. I think there's a saved man.
Amen.
You know what makes you a good person? It's not the absence of bad deeds or the presence of good deeds. It's whether you're saved or not.
Amen.
I've heard it said a million times. I'm a good person.
Yeah,
based on what? Right. And whose opinion is that, by the way?
Yeah,
help me somebody.
Amen.
You may not do bad things to people. In fact, you may do good things, but that does not make you a Christian.
Yeah.
That does not mean you're saved. Tell me somebody, if you're really a good person, it's because you have the imputed righteousness. It's because God took your unrighteousness off of you and put it on Jesus and put his righteousness off of Jesus and put it on you. And you're now accepted in the beloved. You're robed in the righteousness of Christ. And that is the only way you can be good.
Amen. Yes.
Man, he was the same man. Look at what else it said about him. Full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, there's only two men in the Bible that the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. The other one said he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. One was the first Christian missionary, Stephen.
Yeah.
The second was the first Christian, the first Christian martyr, Stephen.
Right.
And the second is the first Christian missionary, Barnabas.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible says about him. He was full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means he was a surrendered man.
Right.
Amen.
Now, when you hear about somebody talking about being full of the Holy Ghost, you'll get the impression that the Holy Spirit is like a substance. Right. Tell me somebody.
Come on.
Like a substance. And that some this person or that person has more of the Holy Spirit of God than other people. But that's not how it works at all.
No, sir.
He's not a substance. He's a somebody.
Right.
And when the Bible said that he was full of the Holy Ghost, it does not mean that he had more of God than other people had.
Come
on. Means that God had more of him than other people.
Amen.
What that means is there was no rooms in his heart where the Holy Ghost was not allowed to go. There was no days of his life where the Holy Ghost was not allowed to be in charge. He could get down in his wallet if he wanted to. He could get down into his closet if he wanted to. He could look at his television screen if he wanted to. He could listen to his music if he wanted to. There was no area of his life whatsoever where the Holy Ghost was not allowed to move. He yielded himself as instruments of righteousness unto God. And honey, this is what Brother Sammy Allen used to always say.
Yeah.
He said the secret to the Spirit-filled life is instant obedience.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost of God tells you to do something, then just do it. And if the Holy Ghost of God tells you not to do it, then just don't do it.
Amen.
He was a surrendered man. That's a real Christian.
Right.
Verse 24, he was a good man. And full of the Holy Ghost, watch this, and of faith. What does that mean? That means he was a settled man.
Amen.
He was living by faith.
Right.
That does not mean that Barnabas had all the answers.
Right.
By the way, this list does not mean Barnabas was perfect.
Amen.
I can show you in Acts chapter 15, which that's the third sermon.
Yeah,
if you want me, I ain't going to say nothing about that till you get me back in
the
Bible said that the contention was so sharp that they departed asunder one from the other.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to bring me back for that one. No, just because he was saved and full of the Holy Ghost, heaven said that does not mean he was perfect.
Amen.
He said he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Well, that means he was set. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
He believed God over circumstances.
Amen.
Huh? He lived by faith.
Amen.
Had a man tell me one time, he brought me his bank statement. And he was quoting my sermon back to me. You said,
come on,
that if I was to tithe, that God would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. He said, he tried to press down, you know, and he press it and shake it and then run. Help me somebody.
Yeah, come on.
He said, that's what you said, that's what you said. He said, but my bank, here's my bank statement.
Come on.
He said, he must have been from Missouri. He wanted me to show him the blessings of God.
Show
him. Amen.
He said, show me the blessings of God. I said, well, I handed it back to him. I said, which one are you going to believe?
Right. Come on.
You going to believe your Bible? Or are you going to believe the bank statement?
Come on. Amen. Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It's really just that simple.
Amen.
You say, preacher, my eyeballs are telling me things are bad.
Come
but
on.
The Bible tells me that things are just like God wants them.
Amen.
I said, well, which one are you going to believe? You gonna believe your eyeballs, or you gonna believe your Bible?
Amen.
I said, in this Christian life, there will be times when you'll have to look your eyeballs in the eyeballs and call them liar. And
Amen.
Say, I don't care what you're telling me. I'm gonna believe my Bible over my eyeballs. I'm gonna believe my Bible over the bank statement. I'm gonna believe my Bible over what the government says. I'm gonna believe my Bible.
That's
faith. And he was full of
sin. Amen.
He didn't have to pray about
tithing.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You know there's some things you ain't got to pray about.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
You can tell a pastor on him. He's holding and tithing. This is my favorite point. This is the last one. This will be your favorite. Little boy met me at the door. He said, Man, I like that preacher. Wasn't nobody talking to me, not even the pastor. And the little boy walked up to me and said, I like that preaching. I said, come here, man, come here. I'll give you a dollar, stand there and just tell me, what did you like best about it? He said, well, that part where it ended. I said, give me back my dollar. That's his favorite. That's probably your favorite too. Well, here it is. Look at verse 25. They was having revival. Am I safe to say they was having revival?
No.
The grace of God, people getting saved left and right. Hey. God added to the church. Help me somebody. Much people added unto the Lord. Church growing, the grace of God, people getting right with God. Church just happening.
Amen. Come on.
And they were having a great time. And old Barnabas was Mr. Encouragement.
Yeah.
That's his name. That's what his name means. Son of Consolation. That's the same word the hope that the Bible uses for the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The one called alongside the head.
Right.
Yes, he was an encourager. Barnabas would make you feel like it's all about you.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know why? Because when you first get started, it really is all about you. Right.
Come on.
And then you'll grow up a little bit and you'll realize, hey, it ain't all about me. There's other people out here.
Amen. Come on.
There's other people out here. And then you grow up a little bit more and you realize it ain't about you and it ain't about them. It's all about get started, it's all about you, and Barnabas will help you. He'll slip an arm around you. He'll slip an arm around you. He'll be a blessing to you. He'll help you. He'll say things to you you need to hear. You have a damn church service. You say, Brother Barnabas, stand up and testify. Honey, you have you swinging off the chandeliers. He'll make you feel better. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You need that when you first get started.
Amen.
It'll be a good day when we get to where we wean ourselves off of them goosebump days.
Come on.
Hey, I like goosebumps.
Come on.
I like having a good time. I like shouting in church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's the funniest thing, preacher. I preach up north and out west a whole lot. They ain't gonna act like me, but they like to get me in there and watch me act like me. What's he gonna do now?
Amen.
I like having a good time, and they were having a good time.
Amen.
Here's Barnabas' finest hour. This, in my opinion, is what makes him a real Christian. Look at verse 25. He left. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves to talk to people. And then they called them Christians. They didn't call them Christians when they were shouting.
Come on.
Taking laps. I'm all for taking laps. I'm all for shouting.
Amen.
Here's what Barnabas said. We've had a good time. It's been wonderful. And I have taken you as far as I can take you.
Come on.
Now what you need is you need a chief speaker.
Come on.
You need somebody that can take. We've gone high. Hallelujah.
Come
but you
on.
Need somebody to take you deep.
Right. Amen.
You need somebody to take you to that next level, Christianity.
Come on. Right. Come on.
He said, and I know just the man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find him. This text was not the first time Barnabas ever went to fetch Saul.
Right.
He went and he found him. Did you know Saul was the chief speaker?
Come on.
The transition is very evident throughout these next chapters up to chapter 15. It was Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. Now all of a sudden it was Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul
right.
and Barnabas. Heaven's somebody.
Right. Heaven's come
somebody.
On.
You know what he was doing? You know what happened when Barnabas went and got Saul and brought him back?
Come on.
We don't have any sermons recorded. I'm sure he did preach some. We don't have them recorded. We have Saul's sermons recorded, several of them, in the book of Acts.
Right.
We don't have any sermons where Barnabas ever preached. You know what he was doing? He was taking a back seat.
Come on.
He stepped away and let Saul get in there. Let Brother Paul.
Amen.
Help me somebody.
Amen. Right. Amen.
He preferred someone else above himself. Here's
Amen.
The point. Here's the point. He was a selfless man.
Amen.
Oh, that's a real Christian right there.
Amen.
That's a real Christian right there. Out in North Alabama, where I live, well, I'm not North Alabama, Central Alabama, where I pastor, North Alabama, they ride around in big old F-150s with them big old 27-inch mud grip tires.
Come on.
Have mufflers and open headers and coon dog boxes on the back of it.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Yeah,
and
man.
A big old sticker on the back window that says Salt Life.
Yeah.
And they ain't never even seen the ocean.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Salt Life!
Come on.
They come by my house at all hours of the night with them trucks that ain't got no mufflers. They need to mitosize them things.
Yeah.
Help me somebody.
Come on.
What they need to do is scratch that salt life sticker off there and put self life.
Right.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Go ahead.
It's all they care about. Did you know that the sin life is the self life?
Right.
The first major characteristic of the first sin recorded in our Bible, Genesis chapter 3. First thing Adam did, he hid himself.
Right.
Go back and look at Genesis chapter 3.
Amen.
When Adam sinned, he hid himself.
Right.
So many that the sin life is the self life.
Right.
You don't know why drunkards go to the bottle? Because they don't care about their mama.
Come
they don't
on.
Care about their come daddy.
On.
They don't care about their children.
Yes.
Yes. Somebody. They don't give a rip about their wife.
Freedom.
They don't care about nobody in their life. Right. All they care about is me. The self, the sin life is the self life.
Amen.
Drug addict goes back to their drug, I promise I ain't going to do it no more. And they'll run right back to it. You know why? Because they don't care about their mama. And they don't care about their daddy. And they don't care about their children. And they don't care about their help me somebody. They just care about themselves.
Come on.
And if you think the drugs and the alcohol are the worst, the only thing worse to God than unrighteousness is self-righteousness.
Right.
He said, all righteousness are as filthy rags. The best we got is the worst he can think of. Honey, self-righteousness will damn your soul to hell faster than unrighteousness. The Bible said, where sin did abound. In the self-righteous bosom of a religious sinner.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Which do you think is worse to God? Go to hell from a bar stool or a church pew?
Amen.
Come on.
I love preaching in the jail.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
You ain't got to go in there and convince them that they're sinners.
Come on.
You just go in there and tell them about a God who don't care. About a God that knows where they are, where they've been, and what they've been.
Yeah, man. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I was up near Chattanooga, and this old boy, he was a gang member, a member of the West Side Bloods. That ain't even in Chattanooga, by the way.
Come on.
So boy had a 1964 model, I guess it was a Cadillac or I don't know what it was. And oh him, metallic green paint.
Come on.
All in everything you can think of is on it. Somebody say amen.
Come on.
Right. And listen to that old filthy rap music.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Amen.
And his buddies around, I couldn't talk to him. Because they mocked me.
Come on.
He's all by himself this time.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's all by himself. I come and struck a conversation up with him.
Amen.
I told him, he broke down. He began to tell me. He began to weep. He'd say, preacher, what if I've done things
come on.
That God won't forgive me of?
Come on.
And I can tell I didn't ask.
Come on.
You see, I ain't Catholic. Help me somebody.
Amen.
You ain't climbing in no box, rubbing beads, sucking wafers. Help me somebody. Lighting candles.
Come on.
I ain't wearing no dress. I ain't climbing in no box. You ain't telling me all that.
Right.
The Bible does not say confessing your sins one to another.
Right. Amen.
That's right. Reckon that's why there's so many perverts and pedophiles. They sit in that box all day long listening to every wicked thing that their people has ever done. I'm going to tell you something. They can't handle their own sin, let alone everybody else's. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. to Jesus. Right to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't do anything
Amen.
About your sins.
Amen. That's good preaching.
Well, I was in Rome, Italy on a Wednesday afternoon.
Come on.
There's thousands standing out there. And here come the Pope out there with his little funny hat. I wanted to preach so bad. If it, you say, preacher, would you have preached at the Vatican? Yeah.
Amen.
If they'd have let me, honey, I'd have climbed up in that little window and put that funny hat on. I stood there. Help me, somebody.
Come on.
I said, stand up, take your Bible, go over here, hug a neighbor, sit down. Help me, somebody. And I preached Jesus to
them.
They throw me off at that mountain. I've been in one of them vaults down there, locked up by one of them others. Anyhow, he was a selfless man. He went and got Saul and brought him in, and as far as I know, he never got taught again. In fact, chapter 14, they went into a synagogue. And after the chief of the synagogue got done doing his thing, he seen Paul and Saul and Barnabas and Saul come in, and he said, Brett, here's the word. This is what the King James said.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you from memory.
Yeah. Come on.
Because you can memorize the King James Bible.
That's right.
Amen.
Anyway, he said, if you have any word of exhortation, say on.
Amen.
Now, if that man was to say, somebody got a word of exhortation, and Barnabas was in the house. Did I tell you his name was called the Son of Consolation? That means the Son of Exhortation.
Right.
You see what he done in Acts chapter 11? He exhorted them. That's what he does.
Right.
That's his ministry. That's what he's good at. Honey,
right.
If anybody can give you a word of exhortation, it's Barnabas.
Right.
But the Bible said Saul beckoning with the hand said, I got a word over my heart, matter of fact.
Yeah,
it wasn't no word of exhortation, honey. It wasn't no real good feel-good sermon. Right. It wasn't one of these modern day sermons you hear nowadays.
Right.
Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Help me somebody. Help me somebody.
Come on.
A real good feel-good sermon to salve the soul for about 5 minutes until the reality of life actually hits you right in the face. Help me somebody. No, he preached on a warning. He said, flee the wrath to come.
Amen.
Barnabas never got to preach again, as far as I know.
Amen.
He was a selfless man.
Right.
Here's what somebody said, and I'm done. It's probably Spurgeon. He said everything else. It takes more grace than one can tell to play second fiddle and to play it well.
Amen. Amen.
He brought old Saul in there and said, this people need to hear. Tell them about that time he was going down to Damascus and seen that light. Tell them about that.
Come on.
He said, tell them about that time. Hey, Saul, tell them about that time God, you went over to the wilderness of Arabia.
Yeah.
Come on.
Where'd you go anyway? Did you go up in Horeb, same place Moses got the Old Testament?
You went
up the same place he got the New Testament.
Hey,
Saul, tell them about that time.
Amen.
Tell them about that time they had to let you down in the basket because the Jews trying to kill you.
Yeah.
But their lay in wait was known of you because you invented how to kill people.
Right.
Come on. Right.
Church.
Amen.
Come on.
Tell them about that time they let you down in the basket.
Bless them.
He said, tell them some of the mysteries. He said, tell them about that thing. What'd you call it? The rapture.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody ever heard of that before.
Come on.
Tell them about that.
Amen.
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
He preferred somebody else above himself.
Amen.
That's the self life is the sin life. The selfless life is the same life. That's a real Christian.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll tell you something about these difficult days we're in.
Come on.
We don't need the real. Would the real Christians please?
Amen.
Would the real Christians please show up?
Amen.
But
these are some difficult days.
Amen.
We need more than ever the real Christians. Preacher mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to say this and I'm done. About that pandemic and people not coming back. I'm afraid that coronavirus, I'm not saying it's not real, honey. I have.
Come on.
I have. I know it's real.
Amen.
I know it's real. It was really manufactured by some Chinese folks. It was really, I call it a smart virus. Whatever you got wrong with is what it'll attack.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's real.
Right.
But here's what it did. It gave folks the excuse to be in the problem.
All right.
Amen.
Come on.
It gave folks the excuse they've been looking for.
Right.
Yep.
Come on.
And they coming back. But the real Christians will find a way to do it.
Right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Would the real Christians please show up?
Amen.
In these difficult days,
right.
Let's all stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you, can we do an invitation, preacher? Is that all right? Somebody come to the piano, please. Thank you, sir. While she's coming to play an invitation, you want, I don't know how y'all do it. You want to come lead an invitation to him? I don't know how y'all do it. Okay, she's going to come. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I want you, I'll ask you this. Are you a real, well, I said it didn't matter what you said about yourself. I'm just going to ask you this. Has there ever been a time in your life when you got born again, saved by the grace of God? You know you're saved. You know you're saved this morning. If you don't know you're saved, you can get saved. Preacher's standing here. He's got his Bible handy. If you need help, he'll show you. If you need him to pray with you, he'll be glad to pray with you. Would you come if God's touched your heart? Father, thank you for your word. Help us in this invitation time. Touch our hearts.